Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back by popular demand with our 50,000 watts of clear channel power as we blanket 17 states on the East Coast of the United States, much of Canada, and receive letters as far away as Scandinavia and New Zealand. We have back with us Ambassador Earl I. Mack. This man is a tremendous public servant, international business leader, and a humanitarian. You may have seen all the TV coverage when Haiti had their crisis. Within hours, Earl Mack was on the phone getting surgeons together, going there on a humanitarian mission, and they probably saved hundreds of lives. A tremendous human being, Earl I. Mack. In business, senior partner, the Mack Company, headquartered in Fort Lee, New Jersey, investing and managing income-producing real estate since 1963. Board of directors of Mack Cali Realty Corporation on the New York Stock Exchange from 97 to 2004. Board of directors and member of executive and compensation committees to DiGiorgio White Rose Foods. Board of directors of Magna Entertainment Corporation. Board of directors of the National Realty Committee. And a speaker on panel engagements with the Urban Land Institute, Millikan Institute Global Conference, ABA Banking Journal, the Mortgage and Real Estate Executives Report, Thoroughbred Daily News, and Blood Horse Magazine. I'd like to start talking about this article that Ambassador Mack had as an opinion contributor on The Hill a few months ago, and the title of it was Common Sense Tax Reform. Don't save Venice on the taxpayer dime. And in this he wrote, as Venice treads water and monuments overseas are falling apart, Washington policymakers are considering reforms to our tax code that could dramatically suppress charitable giving in our country. How serious is this? Are we seeing a problem with the regulation of charitable giving? Ambassador Earl I. Mack.
Brian, thank you for having me, and good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for listening. And I will attempt to explain my position on one area of the tax code. There are so many loopholes in our current tax law, which hasn't been changed in over 30 years. That we ought to do something about, Brian, and one of the things that I'm advocating that can put America first and is something that's very reasonable is a form of tax reform that would eliminate monies that are given outside of the country. For example, some very worthy charities like the Louvre Saving Venice, funding universities outside of the United States, funding the poor in Africa, which is very noble and worthy, and there's so many other worthy charities. But we're in a country, Brian, that has 47 million people living below the poverty level, and we just can't afford that to give a deduction, income tax deduction, for charitable contributions to charitable organizations that are overseas. We have a 20 going on $21 trillion deficit. And we're looking to save nickels and dimes, and we should look at the big picture, where I think between giving to undeveloped countries and developed countries, about $22 billion go out every year. Now, that $22 billion would be coming back into our economy, creating jobs, creating more building, creating more velocity and currency. If it were spent here instead of overseas, and God bless the very noble philanthropists that mm-hmm. want to continue to give overseas money, but not on the taxpayer's dime. We simply can't afford to do that any longer. We are the most generous philanthropic country in the world, and we are the industry that's the nonprofit organization, charitable giving industries, mm-hmm. are $1.7 trillion a year. That's if I'm not correct, please correct me, Brian. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge number. And that's 11%, employs 11% of our workforce. And can you imagine if we took away that charitable contribution, which is on the table now? So don't take away that charitable contribution. Leave our charitable contributions alone. But if you're going to cut something, cut overseas giving. If it cut the contribution for tax deductions for overseas giving. So that's the way I feel about that. Now, other tax savings mm-hmm. we can come up with is on the 501c3s, on their income, not giving to your 501c3 charity or your own foundation. If you want to give $100 million, yes, we'll give you the tax contribution, tax donation for that. But we're not going to only tax you with 2%. Under my plan, you would not... Foundations will be phased out from making contributions overseas. That would be a no-no mm-hmm. because we have an American foundations. They should take care of the American charities, whether it be religious charities to improve our religious schools, whether it be universities, whether it be hospitals, whether it be infrastructure, the public, any kind of public charitable works, that's fine. But we cannot afford to improve the roads in Africa, which so much need improvement on the taxpayer's dime. Secondly, foundations are fine.
Mm-hmm.
Leave them be. But they should be phased out from giving overseas. They also invest. They invest billions of foundations, invest billions of dollars every year. And those billions of dollars, instead of being taxed at 2% income on the foundation's investment, they should be taxed at 6%, which would triple the monies into the tax coffers. And in other words, whatever we brought in at 2%, we'd bring in three times more.
Mm-hmm.
So, and 6% is still a very low and manageable tax. It's almost nothing. But we can bring in more revenue to help fund our infrastructures, to help fund our military, and on and on. So, Brian, I think with these two initiatives, not going overseas, not allowing deductions for overseas contributions, and tripling the rate on 501c3s from 2% to 6%, I think that that will bring more money into the economy, create more jobs, because that money would be coming back, almost $22 billion, and some of that $22 billion would be going, instead of into foundations, if people felt reticent about giving, they'd just have to pay more taxes. So some of that would go into our coffers. And also, tripling the tax on foundations would be another way to not hurt our $1.7 trillion a year a charitable giving industry, and also bring in more revenue and create more jobs and bring monies into our coffers through raising the tax on the income that charitable foundations invest upon from 2% to only 6%.
We're learning a great deal from former United States Ambassador to Finland, Earl I. Mack. He was also chairman of the New York State Council on the Arts. He's a very close confidant and friend of former governor of New York State, George Pataki, who's been on this program probably about 7 times when he was governor of New York State, as we've been on the air with ESPN AM 1520 for 3 decades. If you're listening in Cheektowaga, in New York, Manhattan, Northern Florida, or Montreal, drop us a note. We always greet cards from our Canadian and European listeners, also with our 50,000 watts of clear channel power. Please write to Brian Rusk, ESPN Radio, 500 Corporate Parkway, Buffalo, New York, 14226. I'd like to thank those who called regarding our recent guests. Nick Langworthy, Erie County Republican Chairman, Marsha Martino of NAMI in Palm Beach County, Florida, and State Senator John DeFrancisco. Coming up, we'll have Polish leader from Philadelphia, Michael Blihash, who has the cultural center there. Also, we'll have Reg Madison, District Governor in Southern Ontario and Upstate New York, Reg Madison with the Rotary Clubs, and former State Senator Dale M. Volker, all on the Rusk Report. One plug we wanted to mention, Western New Yorkers love their traditions, and the AMPO Legal has been writing about Polish-American traditions and events for over 50 years. News and features from a Polish-American perspective can be found in this weekly newspaper, as well as recipes and a calendar of events. Don't miss out on the next cultural presentation or polka dance by reading the AMPO Legal. The AMPO Legal is available in many Tops and Wegmans food stores. For home delivery, call 716-835-9454. That's 716-835-9454 to have the latest news from Poland and Polonia in your mailbox each week. Some more background information on Ambassador Earl I. Mack. He was Ambassador Extraordinary and Plenipotentiary of the U.S. to the Republic of Finland, 2004 to 2005. He testified before the U.S. House Ways and Means Committee on Tax Reform and the Charitable Deduction in 2013. Member of the United States Presidential Delegation to the inauguration of His Excellency Enrique Bolaños Gayer, President of the Republic of Nicaragua, back in 2002. A great humanitarian, business leader, and public servant, Earl I. Mack. One thing that was interesting, when President Trump recently spoke before the United Nations, he was talking about putting America first. It seems that with charitable donations, you're taking a similar tack, Ambassador Mack, and making charitable donations for U.S. purposes first. Isn't that right?
Well, that's correct. Only I might not just put it bluntly that way, but I think that is very fair, because I'm not attempting to stop the charitable contributions going overseas, but what I'm advocating is just to not give a taxable deduction on America's dime to fund overseas or charitable organizations. But please, I do not advocate stopping giving, but if you really want to be generous and help those in Africa and help foreign charitable organizations, God bless you. You're a very noble person, and I encourage doing that. But we can't afford it on our taxpayers' dime.
Now, you're talking about charitable giving privately instead of at United States government largesse and expense.
Sure.
Let's review a little history here, because 6-7 years ago, when the crisis took place in Haiti with the hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes, you jumped immediately and got a team of surgeons and private planes and jets with equipment and medical supplies, with temporary surgical theaters to help people during a tremendous emergency. Now, this was private giving, not U.S. government giving. Why did you do this, and what did you do for the people of Haiti, Ambassador Omek?
Well, first of all, let's give a minute of good thought mm-hmm. to the wonderful people in Puerto Rico who are being slammed by a tumultuous hurricane that's once in a century event right now as we speak. So let's say a prayer for them, and God bless them. And fortunately, we didn't get the worst of the hurricane in Florida, but it was pretty bad. And our prayers go out to the people of Florida, and our prayers go out to the people of Houston. I was there in Haiti and saw firsthand how they suffered. Haiti was not prepared. In America, thank goodness, we were prepared. In Puerto Rico, I hope and pray that they're well prepared and will survive this. And you know, you just, when you give from the heart and not only give your money but work, it's a certain kind of a psychic income. And that kind of psychic income is the old parable about when a person makes money, he has to give back. Well, sure, but the amount of psychic income you get from helping is much more than you can get from doing anything else. When you help and are philanthropic and give to charity, you help yourself, because your mood is better, you feel better about yourself, your family feels better about you, your friends feel better about you, and you've done a good deed. You've helped. And if you haven't got the financial ability to help, get out there and volunteer. Get out there and work. We were there in Haiti before the government got there, before the military got there. We all knew that Haiti was unprepared, and it was a very heartwarming event to see these people who had gone through so much suffering. At that time, we did 5 sorties, 5 missions to Haiti, and I was there on the ground directing them to different destinations. But today, here's what you can do. Help if you can't afford it financially, go and do what you can in Houston, Florida, Puerto Rico, some of those islands. Any way that you can help, any little thing means a lot. Just a little. Just multiply that by thousands and thousands of people doing just a little bit, and that adds up to a lot. So don't think the little bit that you can help it won't make a difference. Indeed, it does. It encourages other people to give. And God bless those people that volunteer. God bless those people that work so hard and can afford to give back. And God bless the people that are the victimized, innocent people by these terrible changes in the weather patterns.
Well, it was a wonderful effort that Ambassador Mack performed hours after Haiti was hit with a double whammy of natural disasters over 5 years ago. And he probably helped save hundreds of lives by bringing the surgical teams with his five sorties down to Haiti, to Port-au-Prince, immediately. A great humanitarian. He's worked very hard, and he's given back to his society. It's like the old saying that kindness is like a boomerang. You send it out, and it comes back stronger. And that's what's happened with the charitable giving by philanthropist and humanitarian Ambassador Earl I. Mack. If you're listening in Manhattan, Toronto, or Washington, D.C., to our 50,000 watts of clear channel power covering 17 states and much of Canada, drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk, ESPN, AM 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. And again, we always greet cards from our Canadian and European listeners. A little bit more information about Ambassador Earl I. Mack. He was on the board of directors of the New York City Ballet for several terms, co-chair board of directors of the Dance Theater of Harlem, Dean's Counsel, Tisch School of the Arts, New York City. Tremendous humanitarian who's worked so hard and given back to his society. Now, another article that Ambassador Mack wrote about 7 months ago in The Hill, the article was, "Funding the Arts is More Than Preserving Culture. It's Big Business." And in this article, Ambassador Earl Mack writes, "Yet for all the notoriety that still pales in comparison to the whopping 50% of Americans who attend arts events." Let's talk about the vast spectrum of people who attend the arts, give to the arts, and how the artistic community throughout the United States employs millions of people. Ambassador Mack.
Well, we have a tremendous heritage and a tremendous culture. It's what we are. It's the soul of our nation. Our culture is the soul of the nation. Putting arts education into public schools, allowing people to see, to feel better about themselves through the arts. It's a huge industry in America. And I would like to congratulate all those arts industries and arts organizations and thank them for hanging in there through all these threatened cuts to the NEA, cuts to the arts budget, cuts to the support of arts organizations around the country. It's tremendously important. When I was at the New York State Council on the Arts, the Governor Pataki and the legislature gave us $25 million to put arts education into the public schools, and we wrote a white paper and a protocol about how to do it and how to implement it. Mm-hmm. And what we found was that when these programs were implemented and arts education became part of the curriculum in the public schools, it became so useful to encourage the at-risk children, the children with learning disabilities. We found that when students learned to play a musical instrument, when students learned to draw and saw they could do it, when children learned to sing, when children learned to dance, when children learned to the history of art, when children learned how to listen to music, they were so encouraged that their grades, instead of dropping out, mm-hmm. that their grades across the board improved because they were so satisfied and saw that they could do it after all, that one side of the brain connected with the other side of the brain, and there was like a mental transference, and you can read some of the writings of Rudy Crewe, who in 2000 to and 2001 to 2004 was chancellor of New York City Public Schools, mm-hmm. when he talked about one side of the brain connecting with the other side of the brain, and these children realized that they can do it, that they can exceed, they can succeed. And it was very thrilling, and their grades went up across the board. And instead of hanging out on the corners, they practiced their musical instrument. They practiced drawing. They practiced singing. And it encouraged them to do that. And right now we're doing a program with Columbia University mm-hmm. Medical School and the Man of War Project, and putting GIs that are at risk mm-hmm. And connecting them with horses that are very hyper aware.
Well, I'm sorry we have to come to a close, but we've done a program on hippotherapy with horses. We've done a few programs some years ago. We've learned a great deal from Ambassador Earl I. Mack. Special thanks to Kevin Carr, Director of Production, for the past 15 years. And thank you for teaching us so much about the importance of the arts and also your analysis of giving to American charities first with our U.S. government. Thank you for teaching us so much, Ambassador Mack.
Have a nice day and have a nice weekend.
Thank you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.